We welcome you inside Everbank Field. This is Jaguars.com Live. J.P. Shadrick with Jaguars.com, senior writer John Osher. And, Osh, you may be asking yourself, self, where the heck are we? Right
That's now? Usually how I start, you know, the questions myself, is self. And it's a mystery. It's the rubber hallway, as we refer to it around here, and you can fill them in on exactly what rubber hallway means.
Well, it's the hallway that combines all the offices here inside Everbank Field, the meeting rooms, the weight room, to the locker room, and goes back to the front office as well. Right behind us is that strength and conditioning center, the weight room, the training room as well. This is, of course, the off-season program starting this week, and the heavy part of that is the testing and the conditioning part, but the weightlifting program really gets started today.
Yeah, it does, and right behind us is where the concentration line was back in 95 with Tom Coughlin. The old-time viewers will like that. But, yeah, the weight training gets started today. Yesterday was a little tedious for these guys. They were in there. It probably felt to them like the combine does. You're doing a lot of physical testing, a lot of what they call baseline drills. They come in and they measure guys for just different physical things. So when things happen during the season, they have a baseline to measure against. Today is when they can start working out. You start hearing the clanking of the weights. You start hearing guys around the hall. This is when the off season, as fans probably think of it, actually gets started. It's where the conditioning starts.
Phase one, next couple of weeks. Phase two, we'll move on. They'll move on to the field for the final phase for the
OTAs and
minicamp.
Sure.
A little later. So a lot to get to. Here's the schedule for today. Right about noon, we're scheduled to have a player join us. Not sure exactly who yet. 12:15 or so now for head coach Gus Bradley right here on Jaguars.com Live. It's the first media availability, mm-hmm. too, so all the local folks are here inside the weight room now. They'll be in the locker room today, too.
And sort of a self-serving shout-out, credit to PR and credit to Gus for getting in on this, because they got a lot going on, and I don't think every team has their head coach talking to the fans on the first day of this. So this is exciting. It should be interesting.
First day in for us here on Jaguars.com Live in the off-season program, as we said, the testing, the conditioning happening earlier today. Some players, I saw a few walking out to Denard Robinson, walking back from the field, ball in hand. They're able to throw the ball around.
Alone.
That's part of this, but they can't be covered. So receivers can catch the ball, but you can't be covered by another player. So that's what's happening on the field beyond the conditioning the next week or so.
And there really is. I talked to Ziggy Hood, Roy Miller yesterday in the locker room. There's always kind of a first day of school feel to this, and the guys are excited to see each other. Ziggy Hood, being a new guy, said he was just sort of staying back. And if you can imagine when you were in school, your first time in a new environment, Ziggy Hood's played in the NFL, but he's been on another team. So he's in there yesterday and being there for a couple of weeks, just sort of getting the feel. You figure out how you fit in, how your personality fits in. Shouldn't take him long. He's a real outgoing guy. But there is that process. And I think that's part of what Gus's process and the coaching process is. These guys who signed as free agents, they've been here, they know how they'll fit, and maybe they've been in once or twice. They've talked to a couple of guys. I know Zane Beatles and Luke Jokel got to know each other a little bit last week. But now all of a sudden, all that's full force. That team building, the chemistry, this is really where that starts. So it's an exciting time, and because of the feel around here, it's a really exciting time.
You know, just walking through the hallway a little while ago, I saw Toby Gerhart walking through and stopped to talk to him for a second, and
he's had to be a big moment for him.
I don't know about that. But he's very excited to finally be here. They got in here on Monday, he and his family. And not only, yes, the workouts and such, but they have to kind of figure out their lives in town, too, looking at houses and such. So a lot going on this week for the new guys.
And that is a part of free agency and the adaptation process that's often overlooked. You're in a new environment, and there's things going on off the field that maybe a guy like Roy Miller doesn't have to deal with this year, had to deal with it last year. So I'm not saying that affects you on the field, but it's certainly a part of the process these guys go through. And it sometimes is a factor why free agents don't come in right away and just sort of blend in. It is an adaptation process and that they're going through right now.
This is Jaguars.com Live. J.P. Shadrick with Jaguars.com, senior writer John Osher. Glad you're with us today. We'll take some Twitter questions a little bit later today. At Jaguars, at J.P. Shadrick, at John Osher. Use the hashtag JagsLive to get them in. Gus Bradley scheduled to join us about 12:15 or so. We'll see a player or two join us. Not sure exactly who, depending on the workout schedule today. You know, moving on from today and this week, after this kind of dies down this week, the focus returns really to the draft.
Sure.
Again, 2 weeks away from right now. 16 days, I guess, a week from tomorrow, or 2 weeks from tomorrow. But with all this big story of the players back in this week, that'll all die down at the end of the week, really.
Sure, and every NFL offseason is kind of like that. This is a little different because the draft is pushed back, but you do have sort of parallel storylines, if you will. There's the players who are in, and they're fighting for their jobs. They're thinking about how to prepare. And yet you also know you've got these 16, 20 guys who are going to be in as soon as the draft's over with. And the veteran players, while the fans are thinking about the draft, the veteran players are thinking about getting ready. So, yes, they will die down. And within about a week, all the draft storylines, all the who's going to go where, that really starts up again as a big-time storyline for us next week.
Sure. So, yeah, May 8th, 9th, 10th, NFL draft. We'll have coverage right here on Jaguars.com, of course. What's your biggest storyline for this week?
Well, first of all, I think I'm not looking at the monitor, but we're seeing footage live right now.
Yeah,
I think,
Patrick
Kavanaugh
is inside
neat.
The weight room. The media's in there, too, but you're seeing live video right now. The workout's happening here.
I wanted to point that out because I've never seen that done before. I mean, I've covered the league a long time. Never really seen fans where they sort of get to see this first day. And our technology sort of prevents me from being able to see it. But that's got to be a neat thing that, you know, as a fan, I think that'd be really cool. And I know you've seen it, a little of the preview of it.
I want to see what your bench press score was.
No, you don't.
Not really. I don't think any of us do.
No. And you don't want to see it live, put it that way.
No, not at all.
Well, spandex.
No, you're right. It's something we're trying for the first time here on Jaguars.com live. You're looking at live video inside the weight room. And a little later, some players will join us. Gus Bradley will be here as well. We'll take your Twitter questions, too. But beyond that, is it the new faces in here? Is it Chad Henne is the starting quarterback that they've said? Is it Maurice Jones-Drew is no longer around? What's the top story this week?
There's several. One is certainly this is the first time in 8 years, first time since I've been back, that you're going to walk into that locker room and not see Maurice Jones-Drew's nameplate. So it's a different feel. Now Mercedes Lewis, who came in with Maurice, is the veteran guy among the offensive and defensive players. Scobie has the most tenure, but Mercedes Lewis is the guy who is the veteran guy in that locker room now. He is seen more than anybody else. So that's a changing dynamic. You won't see every Wednesday the media crowding around Mojo to sort of get the feel of the team. That becomes – it's always the quarterback on that day. It's always the quarterback who sets the tone. That becomes maybe a little more so. I think you'll see Chad Henne be more of the go-to guy. For those of you who enjoy sort of how that media stuff works, that's interesting in that you won't have Mojo there every Wednesday. So that's going to be a new thing because he's been a dominant presence around here.
Well, I think the rule, just to get a little technical on the media side, is you have to have two guys that are available once a week, right? Is that the rule?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure. Honestly, the Jaguars have such good access, it's never an issue for us. There are certain situations around the league where some guys only talk once a week. That's really not usually an issue around here. These guys are all good to deal with the media.
No doubt about that. Certainly Chad Henne, I mean, if you need him more than once, he's always available.
But as far as storylines, I think today definitely there's so many new faces. There's so many free agents. You've got Gerhardt. You've got Chris Clemens. You've got Red Bryant, Ziggy Hood. It'll be interesting to see how they feel about getting here. It's going to be hard to really get a full feel for where they think they're going to fit in until they get on the field in a few weeks and even into training camp. So those are going to be storylines as you go forward for the next 3 or 4 months.
Jaguars.com live. We're inside Everbank Field. Glad you're with us today. This is not our normal location in the Jaguars Radio Network studios over in the rubber hallway right outside the weight room, which was expanded, of course, last year before last season. The first real weight day for the Jaguars. We'll have some players join us. Gus Bradley scheduled to join us in about 17 minutes or so. So stick with us here on Jaguars.com. Hey, let's talk tickets. Renewal deadline coming up. The countdown is on to that final season ticket renewal deadline. Lock in your seats for 2014 or you'll lose them after April 25th. Guess what? That's Friday.
You don't want to lose your tickets.
You don't want to lose them. Check your inbox for the email linking your personalized online brochure or call 633-2000 now. Or you might hear from some Champions Club folks tonight or tomorrow. They'll be pounding at your inbox and your phone to get you to renew. Don't miss out on the Jags 365 year-round benefits as well. Great home schedule, of course. the Steelers, the Giants, the Dolphins, the Browns, Colts, Texans, the Titans, and of course that Dallas game is at Wembley Stadium in London. So renew those tickets now before Friday. And speaking of the schedule, that will be announced tonight too. It's always a big night in the NFL, but tonight at 8 p.m., the 2014 schedule will be announced.
Well, it's always an odd thing because you sort of know that it's coming out probably sometime this week. Sometimes it's 2 weeks before the, what the old draft date was. Sometimes it's the week of the draft. This week with the draft moved back, they kept it to this April 20th area. And it's an odd thing because it's hard to understand why people get so excited about it. They've already seen the teams. They sort of know. But that schedule day, as we talk about a lot, so many things in the NFL offseason have become big news days. This is a huge day, and it is fun. Fans get to see how it lays out, and you get to go through the very meaningless charade of breaking down the schedule in April and seeing predictions. And in the NFL, it means almost nothing how the schedule looks, but it's fun to break it down.
No doubt. Now, what do you expect in terms of primetime, big marquee games, time slots for the Jets?
Well, I would expect, much like last year, they're 4-12. The reality is they're not high profile nationally yet. My guess is you get one NFL Network game, much like last year. Anything after that, probably at this stage, is a bonus. But, you know, amazingly enough, in a league and in a media age where stuff gets out, the NFL schedule is one of those things that you really don't get a feel for. They do a great job of keeping it undercover. They want the impact. They want that surprise element. And they certainly get it with the schedule most years.
It never hurts. They're going up against NBA and NHL playoffs tonight, too, on television.
And you know what? It'll do fine.
I'm sure it will. It
That's the amazing does. Thing about this league. It'll do fine. The Pro Bowl does fine. This will do fine.
Yeah, the Shield always wins, it seems like. Jaguars.com live from Everbank Field. Glad you're with us today. We're waiting the arrival of a player or two after workouts. Gus Bradley scheduled to join us in about 15 minutes from right now as well. More on the schedule release tonight. Mm-hmm. In terms of coverage for Jaguars.com, what does that mean for you? Is there any additional content coming?
Yeah, I mean, we'll have a story in the schedule when it's announced at 8. At that point, I'll take a little bit of time to digest the schedule, take a look at it, and then I'll have my little meaningless analysis of how it breaks down. And I say meaningless because this is one league where you honestly don't know. You can sit there and look at Game 4 and think, that's going to be a piece of cake because of this and this and this. But I always say, trying to break down, trying to do strength of schedule in April, even beyond not knowing who teams are drafting, you just don't know about injuries. You never know who's going to be good. At this time last year, if you had said the two of the Jaguars' four wins would be against Houston, and that would turn out to be one of the weaker teams in the schedule, people would have thought you were nuts. So always bear that in mind when trying to break down the schedule, that it's really tough to know, even in September, who's going to be good in November. It just changes that fast in this league.
Jaguars.com live on Jaguars.com, of course. J.P. Shadrick with Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier. We're awaiting Gus Bradley coming up. A lot of new faces around here. Mm-hmm. We mentioned that before, but let's start on this offensive line. This is going to be a line, no matter what happens really in camp this year, that has all five positions
right
with a different starter from last year's opening day.
Well, that's because you moved Luke Jokel over to left, which at some point was going to happen. And you've also basically said you're going to readdress that interior. And it's hard to tell who's going to start at right guard and center. Mike Brewster looks like he's going to be the center going into camp. But you have Zane Beadles and you have Luke Jokel on the left. And that looks like it's going to be the foundation over on that side. And that's what you got to get going. You got to start finding places that you feel good about and then start adding on to that. So it's going to be a brand-new look offensive line. And it sort of strikes you as being similar to maybe what the secondary looked like last year. I don't think they're going through each roster position year by year and addressing, but it feels a lot like last year when you had a lot of names in the secondary who all of a sudden gone and young people. It's a little like that. Beatles and Jokel aren't quite as young as all the rookies who are starting the secondary, but I think you may have a rookie at a right guard by the time it gets started. So you're going to have a much different feel. I think what's important to realize on that, even as good as some of these players may be, there's going to be a process early in the season where there may be some struggles as they learn to adapt. That's a position where you've got to have some continuity, and that will take time.
And of course, Austin Pastor on the right side says he's feeling good. He had his shoulder cleaned up a little bit in the offseason, but he should be good to go really for camp.
I would think for training camp. You know, some people get alarmed this time of year when they see guys who are limited in OTAs. Ideally, all these guys would love to be out there during OTAs, during the offseason. But the reality is it's so important to have guys 100% for the regular season that you're never going to do anything to push these guys back even remotely quickly during the offseason. So I don't get worried about a guy until they start talking in July whether he's going to be limited in training camp or not.
Well, you're limited in OTAs all the time.
I'm limited. I walk a limited path, JP.
A limited life. JP Shadrick, John Osier, Jaguars.com live. We're basically stalling until players
show up. Wait on a player.
Gus Bradley will be here coming up as well. Glad you're with us today. Here in the United States and certainly overseas as well. They're all over the world today, but certainly in the UK. I know they're watching.
You just pulled the geography stall there.
I did. Hey.
Did you learn that at the Suns?
I did. Great. You know, some more of these new faces, though. You mentioned the defensive line. Of course, that's the most notable part of free agency was the additions up front with Ziggy Hood and Clemens. And even going back to the second level, with Dakota Watson in there now. He'll move around and rush some, too. It doesn't mean it's not a priority in the draft,
right?
Because certainly it still is, but it means that they don't have to go with a pass rusher unless they just feel like that's a huge guy for the future.
They still obviously – you want that guy that teams have to account for in terms of a pass rusher. They probably don't quite have that yet. Maybe Branch develops into that. Maybe Chris Clemens has some time left where he can be that. But you still want to find that guy. But that really doesn't have anything to do with the short term. The short term and the long term are different. Draft is long term. This free agency is short term. And for the short term, with the defensive line, I think the important thing they wanted to do in the offseason, they felt like the defensive line played very well for a 5-game stretch coming out of the bye. And then at that point, if you were watching this team closely, you heard Gus talk a lot about the number of snaps that guys like Marks were getting, that guys like Babin were getting. And that's why the Babin signing after free agency was sort of winding down didn't surprise you, because they wanted experienced bodies up front. And you had Bryant, you had Hood, you keep Babin, and you add Clements. All of a sudden, Cedric Marks doesn't have to play 950 snaps. And if you looked at the numbers, the Seahawks, which is always the big comparison with this team, the style, the Seahawks linemen, if I'm remembering correctly, maybe a couple of them played over 600 plays. Marks was in the 900 plays. And that means you're playing 3 or 4 extra games at the end of the season. Jaguars lost 3 games at the end of the season where the defensive line didn't play as well as it had in those first 5 games. That was a big motivation in free agency, is we can't have our main guys on the field quite as long as we did last year. So that was a huge focus.
And it'll be interesting, you mentioned Andre Branch. You know, we haven't talked about him a lot. Year 3.
Windmill wisdom, as we know. Right?
What a follow on Twitter, by the way. Year 3, and of course, second half of last season is when he really came on a little stronger and started to show some signs of that second-round pick from a few years ago. And it'll be interesting to see what a full offseason now with this group behind him does.
It'll be interesting. Andre, at the end of last season, any coach you talk to, anybody in the building you talk to, really impressed them, because last offseason they didn't know what this guy was. And so you come in, and even in the first half of the season last year, maybe he struggled a little bit. But in the second half of the season, you started getting good, consistent effort out of him. He started getting everything he had on every play, and that was a step forward for him. Now the question becomes, yes, you're going to get that effort. Can he be a guy who makes some special plays? He hasn't been that yet. If he can develop into a guy, as he learns more pass rushing moves, as he gets more experience, where you can depend on him for 8 or 9 sacks, then all of a sudden you've got something. If you add one more pass rusher, then you've got guys who can get the quarterback consistently. But I think that's the next step for Andre. He may, you know, you always talk about that year 1 to year 2 jump. He might be a guy who got his feet settled under him in year 2, maybe comes back to this offseason figuring out, okay, X, Y, Z is what I've got to do better. Maybe now he makes that jump year 3 that a lot of guys take in year 2.
It takes different guys different time to figure things out.
And he really, as I said, he's a guy who's a candidate for that, because he so clearly started to get it last year that you think maybe, okay, he's had a couple of months off now, he comes back, and he knows what he's got to work on. He's bought in. 100% ready to go as the season starts, maybe he takes that jump.
JP Shadrick with John Osier, Jaguars.com, live from Everbank Field. Behind us, the weight room. First real weights day in phase one of the offseason program. Glad you're with us today. We'll take your Twitter questions coming up at Jaguars, at JP Shadrick, at John Osier. I know at some point you have to go in the locker room because it's open to media. Yeah. Maybe not.
I might hang with you.
Forget it today.
We're tight.
Are we?
Yeah, we're not.
Yeah, we are, of course. Some players. Gus Bradley scheduled to join us in about, 7 minutes or so from right now, so stay with us. Let's stay on the defensive side. It seems last year, of course, was the big time in the draft for defensive backs.
Right.
Five defensive backs selected last year. Not that there won't be any this year. I don't know if you can say that. Mm-hmm. You always kind of want to get somebody and move them along. But it seems like one of the safe parts of this team. The corners are strong. You got Cyprian, one of the safeties.
Wouldn't surprise you to see them go corner at some point. At some point, you want to get a guy to start competing with Allen Ball. And then we got the big man here, Mercedes Lewis.
That's right.
And then at safety, Josh Evans, Winston Guy. You wonder if they might bring in somebody to compete at that spot. I don't think it'll be early. I don't think it'll be day one. Maybe not the first pick of day two. But maybe as you get into round three, you start addressing those positions.
Let's get to our
And
first.
I will defer to this guy.
Yeah, I think so. Mercedes Lewis, let's switch spots. Johnny will move over. Mercedes comes sit out here in the middle.
He can sit wherever he wants.
Actually, yeah, he can. Mercedes Lewis is with us, the tight end for the Jaguars. First off, welcome back. It's great to see you. And what do you think? Are you ready for this year? How's the feel here?
Yeah, I think everybody is ready. I think that, obviously the year before was not what we wanted, but the direction that the organization is going in is exactly what we want. And, they're continuing to bring guys in that just want to get better. And that's our main focus, is getting better.
Now, Mercedes, you're here day one. And as a veteran, you don't necessarily have to be. But you're a guy who talked to me a lot last year about you really liked Gus. You really like what they're building here. Important for you to be here in that regard. A veteran leader of the team needs to be here.
Yeah, I mean, that's not even a question and not even a thought in my mind. I think, when you have younger guys coming in and just new guys that are not really familiar with Gus and his philosophy and how we do things here, it's good to have the older guys here to kind of push that message forth, not just inside the meeting rooms, but on the field, in the weight room, and how we really get down. And I was just talking to our GM, and I mean, I was just saying that, I really appreciate that they've never changed since day one, and they've always been the same. And that's something that not just me, but everybody on the team can respect and hang our hat on, knowing that we're going to get their best foot forward every day.
Now, I hate to mention this, but it's getting to the point where you're one of the more veteran guys on this team, if you will. Is that odd?
Don't look at me.
I like the way you said that.
I mean, is that a strange feeling? Because time goes quick in this league. Is that a strange feeling coming in and looking around and realizing I'm the veteran leader?
Yeah, it's a strange feeling. And I was just talking to one of my best friends yesterday. I'm like, yo, I don't recognize anybody here. it's not the same how I used to be. I'm not the younger guy coming up. I'm like, getting older now, I'm like the older guy that the younger guys are coming in and kind of trying to get familiar with. But either way, I accept that role. I accept my role in this team, and I understand that, what I have to do to put myself in position to help make us better. And, whatever that is, I'm willing to do it. And, I mean, since you've been here, that's just, my mindset and how I operate.
Mercedes Lewis is with us, Jaguars tight end, Jaguars.com live. You're a Twitter guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so with the handle, so everybody knows it. I mean, you're followed by thousands, of course.
Yeah, you can reach me at Mercedes Lewis 89 and talk to me because I talk back. I'm not shy. Also, I have a foundation. It's MercedesLewisFoundation.org. I'm having my first annual free football camp in Jacksonville this year, June 7th. I normally have it out in L.A., California, where I'm from. And, I decided to bring some of the love over here. So it's going to be exciting.
Thanks for bringing that SoCal stuff to Duval. We appreciate it. Hey, we got a question from Facebook from Dustin Wainwright, talking about some of the young players on this team. Who are some of the young players already on the roster that could have a breakout year next year. Of course, a lot of the rookies a year ago on offense stood out. Ace, you know, Denard trying to get a little bit better.
Right.
To you, being there, who has a chance to really break out year two?
I guess I'll start on the offensive side of the ball because, you know, that is my side of the ball. Ace Sanders, I think, is going to have an amazing year. He's a guy that wants to get better and takes pride in the little things. So I think you guys can look forward to seeing him do his thing. I think Denard Robinson is going to be really good next year. And really just defining his role and what he's going to be used for in our offense. I think this will be the year where he really figures that out. You know, the learning curve was different for him, you know, playing quarterback and coming into a situation not really understanding, you know, okay, what am I going to do? Is it going to be this or that? And I think, you know, having a year under his belt, you know, should pay huge dividends for him. You know, on the defensive side of the ball, I think Jonathan Cyprian is going to be just a beast. He's a guy that's very physical. He's smart, athletic. You know, so I look forward to, you know, those guys just really defining their roles and continuing to make us better.
Now, we'd be remiss if we didn't ask you. You're walking into that locker room for one of the first times without one of your best friends there, Maurice. And you guys have been, you know, went to college together. Odd to walk in there and have him not be there.
It's very odd. And, you know, not just now walking in here and not seeing him, it was finding out that he wasn't coming back.
Right.
You know, it was the shock of that. You know, I took that kind of tough.
Right.
But at the same time, it's a business. You guys know how it goes. You know, he'll bounce back, you know, sure, wherever he goes. He's a great player, and he's done great things for this organization, and I think nobody could ever dispute that. But at the end of the day, he's moved on to do what he's going to do. And, you know, the Jaguars as a team and an organization, we're moving on, you know, to do what we have to do to continue to get better.
So this will be the first year that you guys haven't been teammates since high school?
My senior year in high school, his junior year in high school. And I went to UCLA, played 1 year there, and then he came my sophomore year at UCLA. And so we played 3 years at UCLA and 8 years here.
That's rare. That's a rare
run. It is. He's like my family,
yeah,
you know. And when I'm home, you know, he always comes over and just chills at the house. And my family and his family are very close. So it's just one of those situations, man. It was obviously a blessing playing side by side with him and being able to beat guys up at the point of contact for him to run the ball. But like I said, I mean, you know the nature of the business.
Sure.
Everybody understands it, and, you know, it is what it is.
Mercedes Lewis is with us, Jaguars.com Live. Glad you're with us today as well. You mentioned Dave. You talked to Dave a little while ago and kind of expressed your appreciation for how they remained consistent. Take us through the first meeting with head coach Gus Bradley as a team a couple of days ago, yesterday, I guess. Anything unexpected? What stood out to you?
It was not unexpected because, I mean, I saw it last year, but in my mind, as he's up there, I'm like, there are probably 50% of the new guys is like, oh, my God. Like, who is this and what's going on and will this keep up? And it's the same feeling that I had when he first got, you know, in front of us and spoke in front of us. That guy is just full of energy, and it seems like he never has a bad day. And that's something that I really respect. You know, one thing that I always try to tell my friends is that I don't control what everybody else thinks about me. I don't control, you know, what somebody may feel if they're looking on the outside, because that's external. The internal things I control. My attitude and my effort, I control. Whether I'm going to have a good day is what I control. My preparation before a game, I control that. But whether we win or lose, we don't control that. All we control is getting better at how we approach the game. And that's how he is. And that's the message that Gus sends across. And I've never met nobody like that. And I'm just, you know, so excited to be a part of it.
Mercedes, we appreciate your time here on Jaguars.com Live, and it's good to see you back.
You got it, man. I appreciate it.
Mercedes Lewis with us on Jaguars.com Live.
Good job.
Gus Bradley expected to join us coming up. The draft party coming up May 8th. Where will you be when the Jags make their 2014 draft selection? Join your Jaguars for the 20th annual Bud Light Draft Party presented by PRI Productions, Thursday, May 8th, 6 to 10. Hear from Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley right after the pick. Enjoy interactive games, raffle prizes, limited time ticket, and Jags gear offers, food trucks. You'll love that, John. Jackson to fill Roar cheerleaders in the D-line. Admission is free, but fans must register for a ticket. So to register, jaguars.com/draft party.
Food truck. You talk about a Shadrick sighting.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Right, I'll be there for sure. J.P. Shadrick, John Osier, jaguars.com senior writer. Mercedes Lewis, last year was a very happy year, positive year for Mercedes. Good to see him after a couple of years ago where he was just on a daily basis. It was just a struggle, it seemed like. If it's even possible, he seems even more positive and happy about this year.
Well, he's at a point in his career where he has been around long enough. He knows enough guys in the league. He knows enough people around the NFL to know that, you know, he's closer to the end of his career than the beginning, most likely. So, but he's now got a chance being around Gus for a year and seeing that, as he said, that Gus doesn't turn that off. That is who Gus is year-round, and that's real. And I think from talking to Mercedes, you get the idea that he appreciates and is excited about getting a chance to be a part of this. He talked about Maurice Jones-Drew, who I do believe very much liked what was going on here last year. I think Maurice was being very honest and upfront when he talked about that. Well, the circumstances change, and Maurice is somewhere else. So Mercedes knows that you don't necessarily get a million opportunities to be in a certain situation. He's got an opportunity to be here now. He's clearly excited about it. He has a good attitude, and I think he's looking forward to being a leader. It's not insignificant that he has played through 1, 2, 3, 4 head coaches, counting Mel Tucker here. He's seen a lot, so he knows when he says it's something special and he says there's something good and real going on, you tend to believe it.
I was trying to figure out why he was eyeballing me when you were talking about him being old. I don't understand that. What are you looking at me for? I didn't see
it. You don't mess
anything.
With the ozone.
I guess not.
He knows.
It's like it is.
He's been around long enough to know that, too.
Yeah, well, I'm just starting to find out. Jaguars.com live. Glad you're with us. Our thanks to Mercedes Lewis. Gus Bradley scheduled to join us momentarily. Should be any minute right here. Big year for Mercedes, too.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, it's, what, year 9 for him now? Year 8?
Yeah. I believe it's 9, which, you know, it was interesting talking to Jed Fish after the season last year, and he talked a lot about, remember, Mercedes missed the first 4 or 5 games. He may have played a play against San Diego, and Jed was very clear that he thinks that Mercedes played out the whole season, that Mercedes could have been a 60-70 catch guy. Now, fans have heard that before. They've heard that Mercedes is going to have a big year receiving, but it's clear that Jed Fish believes that Mercedes is a guy who can be more than a very, very, very good blocker at the point of attack. As important as that is, Jed clearly believes that Mercedes can be a factor in the passing game and can give them something that matters there. And I think Mercedes is important because you want to have a guy that the defenses know, if you don't cover that, he can go make a play. He may not catch 100 balls, but he is a first-round, elite-level type talent, and you have to account for that, which can open things up around the rest of the offense.
Well, and for an offense that struggled to find some plays last year,
right,
this could be that could be one of the key points
sure.
of the season, of course, depending on what happens in the draft and such. But you still want a tight end to be able to do what he's doing. Gus Bradley scheduled to join us coming up right here on Jaguars.com Live. Special edition today from the rubber hallway inside Everbank Field. We're outside of the weight room. First real weights day of the off-season program. Yesterday was the testing. This morning, the conditioning. And now the weights, there's a Players Association meeting, having some other meetings happening around for the players.
Today. First day of school.
That's right.
Really orientation. Is.
And then it gets into a regular routine the rest of this week and next week as well. I just want to know, we got to show your workout live, John. That'd be fantastic.
Well, it's a scene. It's something you'll remember, put it that way.
I know that we see in the ozone some days people see you running down wherever you are down there.
Bay Meadows. It's more of a... It's probably more of a desperate staggering than it is a run, but that's fine.
What is your answer the other day? You're running away from...
Teach his own. I'm running away from my fading dreams.
That's what it
which,
is.
Which, it's kind of a daily sprint.
This will be interesting, this offense this year, John. You know, Chad Henne, they've said, he's a starting quarterback. Yep. They've traded Blaine Gabbert away for a draft pick, maybe two. Everybody thinks there's going to be at least one quarterback drafted at some point, if not multiple quarterbacks this year. So right now, as it stands, it's Chad Henne, it's Matt Scott, it's Ricky Stanzi on the roster. Is that kind of how you see this sorting out going in towards camp? Henny, the number one, depending on the draft?
Yeah, I mean, they have made it pretty clear that they don't really look at any of the quarterbacks that are in the draft as a guy that they expect to be ready to come in right away. Dave Caldwell has been very clear, and so has Gus to a degree, that that's rare. Yes, guys come in and start, but their point is it's rare for that guy to come in and start and really be Andrew Luck, RG3 ready. So they don't want to get into a situation where they're pushing a guy in before he's ready. If they get a guy and it's a Russell Wilson situation and all of a sudden it's clear in camp that, boy, this guy is ready, then fine. But Gus, as anybody who's been around him knows, he doesn't want to create undue expectations or unreasonable pressure on that guy that he has to come in and do it. So if he would win the job, sure, great. And Chad gets that it's not given to him. But for right now, the expectation is not that that will happen. So I would expect it to be Henny, a rookie or two behind him, and then sort of let that situation play out. They're going to keep looking for a quarterback, keep trying to get better at that spot, but I don't see them bringing in a guy and anointing him in this room where we have the press conferences the first night and saying, this is our guy, this is our capital F franchise. I just don't see them approaching it that way because there's not that guy out there.
For Chad Henne, he's been around the league for a little while now, obviously. A veteran presence in the locker room, good in the locker room, too. People responded
sure
to him last year.
Like playing around him.
And that's a main part of the reason why he came back,
sure,
to have a stable force there. And, again, as we go back to that defensive line thing, hey, you have Henne locked in. You have that. You
right
don't have to reach for a quarterback.
Right. And they've talked a little bit about how they see the structure of this offseason. They want to try to get better around Chad. They want to keep building the roster. That means getting to Zane Beatles to sit next to Luke Jokel. It makes the draft interesting because it makes you think that at number three or very early in the draft, you want to get receiver because they've talked about wanting some explosion, wanting some guys who can make plays, you know, to use an old Tom Coughlin phrase, above the X's and O's, who can do special things. Probably don't have that as much as they want in the receiver core right now. So it makes you think at number three, if that's there, do you take that and try to get better around Chad Henne and let the quarterback situation play out? That's certainly, from listening to them, an option that they're considering taking, a route they're considering taking.
Speaking of the draft, we'll have coverage right here on Jaguars.com coming up. May 8th, 9th, and 10th will be live after every pick, instant analysis from this guy and reaction. Much more scheduled as well. Stay tuned for more details. Your place for Jaguars draft coverage right here on Jaguars.com live after every pick coming up in 16 days from right now.
Boy, it'll come up fast, but this
right
delay certainly makes it feel like it's taking a lot longer. And it's taking 2 weeks longer, but it feels like this offseason there's a lot more pre-draft talk, chatter, and I'm just not sure you need more pre-draft talk and chatter, but we got it.
We've had a lot.
Yeah,
we'll have a lot more coming up. We're still scheduled to have Gus Bradley with us. It was 12:15, but we're going to try to wait on here until Gus comes in. The locker room is open to media right now. A little earlier you saw live footage of the workouts just behind us. Patrick Kavanaugh in there with a roving camera today. We'll see how far he can get into that locker room.
Oh, he can rove now.
Oh, he can rove.
Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters back.
That's
back,
right.
God, no doubt about that. Glad you're with us today. Jaguars.com live. J.P. Shadrick with Jaguars.com. Senior writer John Osier. It's our regular Wednesday show, Wednesday at noon, but we're in a different location today, the Rubber Hallway. The media folks are just letting out of the team room. And it looks like Gus Bradley might be heading this way in just a moment.
The Gus bus coming down the rubber hallway.
You'll hear him coming.
Yes, you will.
There's no doubt about that. Gus has been all over the city of Jacksonville, it seems like, lately, going to public events, speaking and out in the community quite a bit to kind of spread that message.
Yeah, and I think that's one reason that people, you know, you're starting to get that feeling of hope and excitement around this franchise, which takes time to build. The more, as you know, the more time you're around Gus Bradley, the more you see Gus Bradley, the more you see that consistency, the more you believe in what's going on, and certainly having him out in the community is a huge help.
Well, here's Gus Bradley right now about to step in with us live on Jaguars.com, the head coach of the Jaguars. Glad you're with us today as well. Gus Bradley right here in the middle. Middle. Right here in the middle, Gus. Right here. This is live television, Gus. Right. I know. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm doing great. Just had a great little meeting session here, but it's awesome. You know, we're excited. We've got a great group of guys in the locker room, and they're really competing. The competition's already started.
That's your word, of course. It starts on a day like today, the first day of school, and it really doesn't end, right? You always have.
That's right. I think, you know, as coaching staff, we really challenge our guys to have their best offseason ever. And, you know, it's nonstop. And just seeing how guys have come in and tested and you know, their minds and, you know, just way ahead of the curve there compared to where we were.
Got a couple of Twitter questions for you. This is an interactive show, of course. You know this. You've been on our show before from at Nice and Long. Coach, what sort of things do you look for this time of year? Of course, there's a lot going on, but is there anything in particular? Is it just guys coming back in shape? Is that the main
thing? Yeah, I think so. And just, you know, their whole approach. I think everybody right now, we've got some new faces in our building. And I think, you know, it takes some time for them to get to know their teammates. And they'll catch up. It's, you know, after you've been away for a while, you come back and you want to visit with everybody. But, you know, we're looking for them to get right back into the mode of competing. And, you know, it's a process, but, I mean, they're lifting weights. They're going in there. They're meeting with coaches. So, like I said, it's a good time of the year.
Gus, we had Mercedes Lewis on set earlier here. And he's really the veteran offensive or defensive player that's been around here for a long time. I think you're his fourth head coach here if you count Mel Tucker. But it's significant that he's around. He wants to be here to kind of help the newer faces come through. And it's important to have a veteran presence like him that's been here kind of as your foundation in that locker room. Right?
You know what? You talk about a guy that was challenged. You know, I just take for him, for example, Mercedes, you know, to have the best offseason ever. And I know in his mind, he has. I think he, you know, he did enough work throughout the whole offseason. He came back in great shape. Physically, he feels really good. And then you know how that works with the mind, too. So I think he's in that mode where he really wants to step up as a leader as well.
Gus Bradley is with us. This is Jaguars.com Live. Glad you're with us today. Some more questions. This from Aaron Wilson on Facebook. Who do you think improved the most during last season? You know, there's a lot of guys, some new faces from last year that kind of got better as the season went on. Maybe some second-year guys, a guy like Branch got better. But now going into year two or three for some of these young guys, it's April.
Right.
But what do you think? Do you have any early predictions of who might stand out, some of the young folks?
Well, it's hard to see. Like right now, we're in the, you know, to see how their offseason went. We've had a chance to visit with them, but we'll get results from the weight room and how they're doing out in their agility sessions. But, you know, we're really pleased with how these guys progress. You know, our two tackles, Austin and Cam, you know, did really a nice job. I think you're right with Brancher. He really did a nice job, felt like he got better. And we're looking for stories. You know, we're going to celebrate the victories with our players. We see them do something really well. And there's, you know, after our time as coaching staff to go back and look through all the plays, put together tapes, there are a lot of victories. We just need more of them.
Here's a kind of a random question off Twitter from Stefolis Prime. Question for Gus. What does Gus eat for breakfast? You're always so happy and energetic.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if there's any key. I think, you know, one of the things that was always told to me, that when you wake up, truly believe something good is about to happen. And I think that's what I just keep telling myself. You wake up, hey, I can't wait to get in there. Something good is about to happen. And, you know, I think it keeps the excitement. And you know what? Usually it follows through. And, you know, what a day to see these guys come back in and visit with them and see where they're at. A lot of good is happening.
Gus, you've been all over the city of Jacksonville lately, it seems like, speaking to clubs, rotary groups, this and that. Are you used to that yet? Is that part of your routine now?
No, you know what? I just think there's you know, responsibility, but a responsibility that I take seriously, and it's important. I think that, you know, as far as our players and myself and our coaching staff, we have a mindset to connect with the following. And I think it's, you know, we want not only our players and our coaches to own what we're all about, but we want our fans and the people that believe in us to also. We want them to go through our really good times, and we want them to go through us with the difficult times. And, you know, I think then that provides ownership. So it's really important for me, I think, to send that message that we want to connect with the following, have them involved, because they're so important to us, you know, on game day and every other day.
Last couple of questions here, Gus. You know, it's... your players are back in, of course. That's one part of this next 2 weeks, but obviously 15 days from now, the draft starts in New York. balance of your time between working with the players that are here, working with Dave on draft and getting ready for that? How does that work out?
Well, the way the day is set up, it allows you to do it. In the mornings, the players are in for roughly 4 hours. So all of our attention, is to the players. Obviously, there's some parts we can't be with them. But when we can, our full attention is with them. And then right after lunch, we get into draft meetings. And we do it by meeting with the offense for 2.5 hours. And then Dave and I and the scouts will go meet with the defense for 2.5 hours. And then afterwards, we take about a half hour break and we're back into the draft room. And it's Dave and myself and just the scouts till, 9:30 at night or so. So it's been a really good process. But your day is full.
Are you ready for this draft to get started and over with, or what?
You know what? It's good. We're always going to take advantage of the time that we have. But I think, it is a little bit different. We operate on a routine, and we like checklists. And this one's a little bit off the routine. But, as long as it's there, we're going to do everything we can to take advantage of it.
Gus, we really appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, no problem. Thank you.
Head coach of the Jaguars, Gus Bradley, joining us on Jaguars.com Live. Remember to watch Jaguars Thursday, or listen, it's radio, Jaguars Thursday tomorrow night on 1010 XL. Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli. That's tomorrow night at 6 o'clock on 1010 XL on the radio. Our thanks to Gus Bradley. Our thanks to Mercedes Lewis. For John Osier and everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick. This is Jaguars.com Live.